Welcome to this NLP Introduction Workshop, recorded live at a Learning Annex course in Los Angeles. You are about to listen to one of the finest programs in change technology available today. In this program, you will learn what is neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, as it is more commonly known. You'll learn how to master the traits of highly successful people, eliminate negative emotions, feel confident and unstoppable, build deep rapport with people, and foster more passion, joy, and peace in your life. John is a master clinical hypnotherapist, master trainer of neurolinguistic programming, accomplished author, and a volunteer and spokesperson for numerous organizations. He is the founder of LANLP.com, Los Angeles's premier NLP certification training center, a professional coaching and self-development company dedicated to teaching individuals and companies how to utilize their natural ability to produce extraordinary results using NLP. John has worked with companies and organizations such as RE/MAX Realtors, Amgen, WellPoint, Mary Kay, Xerox, the Teamsters Union, and as one of the head trainers for the U.S. Army Counterintelligence Team. John is one of America's top speakers because of his infectious spirit, sense of balance, and his ability to entertain while teaching. The combination of hypnosis and NLP makes this program a powerful tool to allow you to make rapid changes in your life right now. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this wonderful and fascinating journey of self-discovery. And now, John James Santangelo.
So, welcome to our NLP class. Thank you very much for attending. One thing I want to get you real clear about is what it is that you do expect by the end of class. That's what I want you to know. I want you to write that down. And also, I want you to write down before we start is that what one question, if you could ask, you can get an appropriate answer in this class. So by end of class, if you could get the answer to that one question, what would it be? I want you to get real clear about that. We're going to go through what NLP is, how it was created, the communication model, internal representations, and how we justify what we do, how we are who we are inside our own head. Okay, and then about goal setting, obviously, because that's what you came here for, goal setting and NLP. And then also rapport skills, and that's probably, for me, is the foundation of true success, is being able to create rapport with anyone at any time. Okay, so write that down. I want you to actually write it down. What specific question do you have that you'd like to get answered by the end of class? Because NLP is just a technique. So if you could have a challenge in your life that you could overcome or an obstacle and to use NLP to do that, what would that be for you? Like some people come to class and say, you know, I just want to be able to make 20% more a year. I want to be in a better relationship. I want to learn to be able to control my emotions at any time. I want to be able to write a book. I want to stop doing this particular behavior. A lot of it is that, weight loss, smoking, whatever that is. Success is real simple. It's knowing what you want and then getting out of your own way. NLP gives you the processes to get out of your own way. It helps you alleviate some of the stuff in the past that we've been holding on to, which are usually negative beliefs, limiting decisions, stuff like that. See, sometimes it's for the first time people come to class and they go, oh my God, I've never even known what I want from moment to moment. Clarity is power. That's the one thing that will help your life shift in a whole other direction, is knowing what you want, your intent, from moment to moment. So I want you to know your intent by the end of class. That's really important for you. Because once you know that, you're going to be looking and searching for those answers as I speak. And you're going to go, ah, that's a piece. Oh, there's a piece. Does that make sense? That you have some idea of what we're doing here. I already know. See, it doesn't help me if I'm just talking and you're just going, that just makes no sense to me. It doesn't have to be very, very specific, but pick an area in life. Okay, let's say health or spirituality or your relationships or your career or money, whatever that is. So that we start working on that, maybe that's the area that you want to work on. You'll have an idea where you're going. It's kind of like, I'm the travel agent. The first question I'm going to ask you is, where do you want to go? Right? Okay. So while you're thinking about that, what is NLP? Well, let me explain it. NLP was developed in the early 70s by two gentlemen, and what they found was that people were getting change in massive amounts and very quickly by these three therapists, Milton Erickson, Virginia Satir, and also Gestalt therapy, Fritz Perls. And what they did is they modeled these specific therapists that they were utilizing those therapeutic models and in breaking them down. So if you were really good at something and I watched you and modeled how you did it, I could eventually find the process of how you do that. Does that make sense? And that's what they did with these therapists. They found out the basis for most of the change was rapport. That the therapists were creating rapport and creating enough rapport with somebody that they felt comfortable enough to really open up and start making changes. Does that make sense? Anyone ever been a therapist? I have. It's amazing. If you go in with somebody, you immediately get a feeling, don't you, from that person, as you did when you walked in the room with me. We're constantly judging ourselves and others, our environment. And so rapport is crucial in working with other people in relationships. Would you like to learn how to create instant rapport with people? It'd be great, wouldn't it? Normally, how do we do that? We go out and start the conversation and become friends and this and that. And it takes a long time. But the process itself is actually really simple. We're going to teach that after break. So NLP was developed by John Grinder and Richard Bandler. And again, they broke down, they distilled down the process of how they implement and change from these three therapists. Milton Erickson was the greatest hypnotherapist at the time, a clinical hypnotherapist. Virginia Satir did family therapy with couples and families. And Gestalt therapy was done by Fritz Perls. You may have heard his name. And basically, they distilled down the simple process of what they were doing and all these techniques. And they took these techniques and they put them in a very simple form that people could understand. Because if you're getting that same process, if you're doing that, if you're creating excellence or whatever it is, if you're creating a great relationship in your life, you're doing something very specific. Does that make sense? So if you're doing it, that means I can do it. If I learn how you do it and break it down without the emotions and break down just the step-by-step methodology, then I can do the same thing, right? It's like having a great track coach. Same thing. I can teach this person, I can teach this individual the same thing. And that's what they did. They started taking these processes and breaking them down. They became so simple that even lay people could do them. It starts from understanding awareness of the change. We've got to know what we want first. Again, if I was your travel agent, the first question I ask is, where do you want to go? Let's use that as a metaphor. Most people say, God, you know what? I'd love to go on vacation, but I'm always so busy. I love to go on vacation, but I never seem to get there. I love to go on vacation, but I don't have enough money. All that stuff stops us from getting where we want to go. First, we need to know where we want to go. Then we work on what the vehicle is or eliminating the decisions or the limiting beliefs that you have about getting there. Does that make sense? It seems real simple, and it is. Again, success is two things, knowing what you want and getting out of your own way. I say that over and over again because it is that simple. But most people don't even dream about it, don't even take time to write it down. You know, it's a great saying I love. It's people take 1 year and plan for one day for their wedding. Take a whole year, plan for one day, and never take one day to plan for a whole year of their lives together. Now think about that. How much do you plan for your life? Clarity is power. We must know where we're going first. If you don't have this, you know, destination in mind, how are you ever going to get there? By random choice? You know, it's kind of like the script has been written like halfway up until this moment in your life. Your script has been written. You've been writing it. Who's going to write the other half? You going to let somebody else write it? So the creation of NLP came from a therapeutic model. Because if anybody can change, and I can learn the processes, then I can help people change. And then came along Tony Robbins, and he took it into a business model. He used it in a business context. And then from there, we have a lot of other people using it in education and the medical community and relationship strategies, the same thing, because it's all about how we think, how we process information. Does that make sense? So the next thing is the communication model. And what they found was we were doing this consistently daily, every day. We were taking information through our five senses, auditory, visual, kinesthetic, gustatory, and olfactory, smell and taste. We get in what's called these external events that come into our brain through our five senses. And then we filter these events. We delete, distort, and generalize the information. Sometimes delete it. For instance, anyone ever been in a car accident? I had a friend of mine who was in a car accident. He was making a left-hand turn. He said, I never saw the Mack truck coming at me. He deleted information. Sometimes we generalize information. What is this? How do you know? Okay, so it's a reference that you have inside. So if I brought in a bar stool, we would call that a chair also, right? Or if I brought in a lounge chair, they're all chairs, aren't they? We generalize because every day that you walk in, you don't have to look at this and go, I've never seen one like that before. And you probably never have seen one exactly like this before. But your brain generalizes that so we can function throughout the day. Does that make sense? And we distort information too. You may hear something and it sounds like something else you may have heard before, and then you repeat it. You ever hear that telephone game and somebody says it's kind of distorting information? Yes, we do this constantly. And what your brain does, it takes this information, over 2 million bits per second. Over 2 million bits per second are coming into your mind consistently, day to day. Now, if that moment in time, you were to be able to comprehend all that information in that 1 second, your brain would go into overload, go into a spasm, literally. Because we can only break that down to about 7 plus or minus 2 pieces. So from 2 million to 7 pieces, all of that in between is being lost. So imagine how much information we're constantly not paying attention to. You know, they say it's not reality, it's only a perceived reality. How many of you have seen the movie What the Bleep? Great movie. It's about quantum physics and how our internal worlds are only a perceived image of what we think they are. So the communication model says this. If this is the only thing that we see constantly is behavior, right? That's all we see in somebody. When somebody does something to us, we react accordingly, yes? Or react unaccordingly. So we see this. But what's going on is really behind the scenes. This communication model is what you do every day of your life. This is really what you want to pay attention to, because this is how the basis of NLP was created. Because from this model, they started developing the techniques. And a lot of them are very complicated when you read outside the context of a class. Because inside a book, you get the information, like have no idea what the lingo is or the words, the programs that are attached to this stuff. So you take in this event, like I'm an event right now in your life. For this moment, I'm an event. You're taking this in through your 5 senses. Most of it's auditory and visual, yes? And I'm generating a feeling inside of you right now, whether you know it or not. You make an internal representation of what's going on. So as I say certain words, I'm using certain language, you're making internal representation inside your head. For instance, when I say the word dog, what pops up? Even though the word, we generalize that word, contextually it's the same word, isn't it, for all of us? But specifically it's not. Now we take words that are very vague, like communication or love, and we communicate that depending on the state that you're in. Like if I say, I'm talking about a relationship I just got into, and you, let's say somebody just broke up with you last night, is that state of mind going to change the way that you feel about how I'm communicating to you? Absolutely. So if I'm like, oh my God, I'm just in this great relationship, and you're just going, I don't want them, don't ever get into one, they're just all in them terror and just... It's going to affect how you communicate with me, isn't it? See, we're doing this constantly. Words like communication, relationships. So what we're doing is we're internalizing these, what we call internal representations, and those internal representations change our states and our physiology. So if I said the word love to Shannon, in some specific way, it's changing how she internalizes that word if she was in that state of mind. We're going to get to the good stuff in a second. This is really important, the basis of how we think. So how she processes that word is going to be dependent on how she behaves. Here's the thing, because all we see, again, is our behavior. But our behavior is predicated on those internal representations. So those internal representations that we're making inside our head change our state from moment to moment and shift our physiology. So if I'm in a negative state, or I'm in a depressed state, or in a frustrated state, it's going to look different if I'm in an excited state, wouldn't it? Or I'm in a happy state, wouldn't it? Because depressed people don't walk around like this, do they? Do they? No. And happy people don't walk around like this. So your state and physiology are linked together neurologically. How you move is associated to how you feel. What's going on inside. You want to feel different? Change the way that you move. Change the way that you breathe. Change the way that you sit, stand. So again, we're making internal representations consistently all day long about the events that are coming into our brain, into your mind. And the patterns that you run are based upon, let's say, pre-recorded software that usually our parents or a teacher or a mentor had downloaded onto our hard drive when we're kids. Does that make sense? Because up until about 8 or 10 years old, the body doesn't have, the mind doesn't have an analytical process. It can't really decipher information. So when somebody says something to you at that age, we tend to believe it. Like, the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. There's no analytical process. Like, oh, that big guy doesn't fit down that little chimney. There's just no way. So we tend to believe everything. The unfortunate thing is we carry all those beliefs into our adult life. And we believe these things. We do another class called Manifesting Abundance. A lot of it is getting past those beliefs in your life. Like one of them for me was, you know, my dad said to me when I was 8 years old, once, never forget, he said, "You're just so damn lazy." Now, whether he meant it or not is irrelevant. But I took that and I believed it at that age. And through the rest of my childhood and the rest of my adult life, it's like that little internal voice was going off. And we all have those. We all have those programs that are consistently running. It's being able to really become aware of what they are and how they affect you. Some are great, some work, as we're talking about before, and some don't. Some limit you in what you do. I'm sure you could probably write down lists of ones that work and that ones that don't, right? Especially relationship strategy ones. Those are the best. Because you've all been in one relationship, right, and it's worked for your entire life. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's why she came to class. I want to empower myself. So I can always tell. Okay, so what happens is we're running this consistently by taking in this information, 2 million bits, distilling it down to 7 bits. We make these internal representations of that information coming in. It puts us in a different state and it makes us behave. So here's the question, folks. How do we change this? So if this is all you can see, this is what you do. This is what even you see on the outside. When you, the results you produce, this is what you see. Your outcomes, your dreams, your visions, this is what you produce. So if you want to produce something else, we need to start changing this, learning how to change this. And a lot of the processes in NLP get you to do this, internalize something different, how you encode the memories. It's reprogramming the software. It's literally reprogramming the software so that you can do something else. Everything we do is a process. The words that you speak is a behavior. Language is a behavior. Your muscles are moving, you're moving air through your lungs. It's a behavior. The language, the specific language, the words that you chose just to ask me that question, there was some internal representation going off in your head, you're making sense of it inside your brain, and you speak. And that those specific words you chose to make sense of that. Okay? Everything we do is a strategy. The brushing your teeth, driving your car, eating, everything's a strategy that you have. And it's basically to speed up the process. Remember the first time that you ever drove a car? Remember how frustrating it was? Like 10 and 2, looking over the rear view mirror, checking your side, checking the left and the right. No one could even talk to you at that time, right? You're overloaded because your brain can only handle so much. But as the process becomes more familiar and you start to ingrain a neural pathway for it, the brain just finds that pathway over and over again. It becomes so easy that when you begin to do it again and again and again, you don't have to think about it anymore. It literally becomes unconscious. Does that make sense? The unfortunate thing is that's a good thing, but the bad and the negative states, the negative behaviors that we choose are the same way too. We find negative states or negative behaviors and they become automatic. We automatically just perform and go, wow, why did I do that? How did that happen? Why did I say that? Does that make sense? When you really begin to think about how you think, that's when you really become aware of what you're doing. Imagine if you were to think of a thought right before you asked me that question, if you were to step back right before it just even formulated an idea and said, how could I ask that question that would empower me and everyone in this room? You'd choose different language. You'd choose different words. See, that's what you get with NLP. You get to the point of saying, I'm in control. I can empower myself because I'm in control of the information that comes in. See, these are just negative. This may be negative or positive information or states or programs or strategies that we run consistently. If you're not even aware of them, how are you ever going to change them? Does that make sense? We go through life just hoping we end up in a place that we like. How can you hope and have faith when you don't even know where it is you're going? So that's the biggest thing when I come to class. I want everybody to know specifically what they want before they leave. Because if you get anything out of everything that I teach you, you get anything, I want it to be that one thing that you ask of yourself when you walk in. Just the fact that I get more clear about what NLP is and be able to use the process. That's clarity. That's power. Here's how it works. You've encoded all these memories, okay? You've encoded all these memories and all these feelings that are associated to these memories, right? Certain events have certain memories. Some events have memories, but they're neutral memories. They don't mean anything. It's just an event. So you have all these encoded memories in your head. Brian picks up the magazine, and he reads it, and he sees a couple of words that spark a memory in his past. Somehow the words formulated on that paper sparked some interest in him, which created a feeling. And from those feelings, he behaves. My theory is this: we can never make a logical choice. Ever. You want to challenge me on that? We can never make a logical choice. Because think about this. If you had 100 opportunities out there and you distilled them down to 2, which one are you going to choose? The one that feels best. Absolutely. Has nothing to do with logic. No matter how much information you're pulling in, it's the one that you, what men call the gut instinct, women call it intuition. It's being able to tap into that feeling more and more often, because usually it's right. So something on that page, Brian, just sparked a memory or something inside of you that said, that makes me feel good. There's something in that for me. And so you respond. You behave accordingly. Now, if something repels you, like if you had a bad experience with NLP at one time, right? And then you read, oh, it's NLP, and you'd go, ugh. That one word could change what you do. Does that make sense? We're doing this consistently. What's called anchoring states. We don't get into this in this class, but in the certification class we do. Because these feelings are generated constantly, they're anchored into your body. And there's a trigger for them. You've heard of Pavlov's dog, right? Rings the bell and the dog salivates. Those anchors are within us also. So if that was a negative state for you, let's say NLP, the word NLP was a negative state for you, and every time you heard that, you went, ugh. Imagine how much opportunity you'd be missing by not taking a class. But we do that with people, too. It could mean even a name. You could go, John. Ugh, I knew what John was, and he wasn't. And maybe that stopped you from coming to class. Something that simple. Or some empowering states. Where you said, oh, NLP, I've heard all about that. I've got to go. That's an empowering anchor for you. How would you like to be able to create anchors that are emotionally empowering for you? Being able to change your state from moment to moment. Anytime you get into a funk or a mild depression, you're able to go fire off your anchor, and now you're in an empowered state or a confident state or a calm state or a relaxed state, whatever that is for you. That's true that's true personal power. That's empowerment, being able to take control of your neurology. Okay, so internal representations. I'm going to show you how to do this. This is a lot of fun. Internal representations. You're making internal representations of everything we do. They are the building blocks of our world. They're the building blocks of our world. It's how we encode information. When you're hearing something, you're seeing something, you're tasting something, or you're feeling something, you're basically storing that onto your hard drive. Does that make sense? So when you need it again, what we do is called a transderivational search. We go back into the past, and we pull it up in front. And we utilize that information through how we perceive our world in the past. Not in the moment. Right? Not in the moment. We see our future or the present moment based upon our past. Like the question is, when you wake up in the morning, how do you know to be you?
By remembering.
Say it again.
By remembering.
By our memories. Remembering who you are. If you didn't know who you were, if your memories were gone, you could be anybody. You could wake up and be Bill Gates if you had the strategies of how he does what he does. Does that make sense? So how you do your world is basically based upon the memories that you have of how you've done it in the past. And they're either empowering or limiting. Make sense? So we're making internal representations of these events that are coming at you every moment. So you want to learn how to change internal representations? This is really cool. Our internal representations are encoded by our 5 senses: visual, auditory, kinesthetic, feelings that we make. Inside and outside, tactile or internal, visceral. And then gustatory and olfactory, smell and taste. Okay? Gustatory is taste. Okay? Olfactory is smell. So that's the only way we can represent our world. Does that make sense? It's the only way we can take in our world. So how we encode those building blocks, or how you do your physiology and state and how you manifest behavior. So when I say the word dog for you, immediately something pops in your head, yes? Okay, now pay attention to this. think about that dog or think about the word, whatever it is. Is it in black and white or color? Don't answer, just think about it. I'm going to go through these really fast. Is it in black and white or color? Is it moving or is it still? Is it 3D or is it flat? Does it have a frame around it or is it panoramic? Are there any sounds associated to it? Are you saying anything to yourself? Is the picture talking to you? Where's the sound coming from, the left or the right? Is it loud or soft? What's the tone or pitch? Are there any feelings generated from that? Where's the feeling located in your body? Is there any pressure, intensity, any heat? All of this is going on moment to moment. You internalize those events by these what we call submodalities. When we start shifting the submodalities of those visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory representations, you change the way you do your behavior. This is the basis of how NLP works. So for instance, let's try an experiment. Get comfortable in your chair. I want you to think of an event or an experience that at one time brought up some angst. But now when you think about it, you're kind of done with it. But when you think about it, there's maybe some residual stuff going on there. Let's not pick the biggest thing like you have to deal with right now in your life. This is just a real simple process. You may want to do this with your eyes open or closed. As you bring that event up, do you have a picture associated to that? Just notice what picture you have in your mind's eye, if there's one at all. Are there any sounds associated to that picture? And notice the feelings that you generate from those pictures and sounds. Just notice where that feeling's located, or the intensity or the weight or the heat from that picture or sound. Just notice it for now. Notice if I was to give you a level of intensity from like 1 to 10, where are you at with that feeling? Where would you gauge that so that you have a clear number about that? Now, when you can do that, what I want you to do is take that picture in your mind's eye, and if it's not already, make it in black and white. Just go ahead and make it in black and white. And flatten it out if it's not in 3D. Just flatten it out so it looks like a picture and put a frame around it. Put a really ugly frame around it or something really hideous looking. That's right. That black and white, flat, still picture. Just make it still and flat. Put this really gaudy frame around it. And just go ahead and shut the sound off. Just turn the volume down on it. And now take that picture and just move it off to your left inside your mind's eye. And turn down the brightness. Move it off to the left and start moving it farther and farther away from you. So that black and white, still framed picture way off in your left just continues to move farther and farther away. About the size of a postage stamp way out there. And when you can do that, just go ahead and seal it right there. Just kind of seal it in place way off in the distance over there. And when you can do that, just go ahead and come back into the room and open your eyes. Now, as you notice that picture, is the feeling different? Where we sealed it, is it different? I mean, that's just a simple process of how we can change our emotions, how we encode those specific things. Now, if you want to go ahead and bring that picture back, you can just leave it there for the rest of your life. That's okay. If not, just go ahead and bring it back in and put it where it was in color or black and white. Pull the frame away. Just bring it back to the original position. But if it's okay, just go ahead and leave it there. See, that's just one simple technique. It's playing with your submodalities of how we do this. And you're thinking, oh my God, I never even knew I had any. Right? This is how your mind processes information. Through those five senses, how we encode this, which changes our state and physiology. So if that event at one time, if it was a grand event for you, probably changed your state, didn't it? And if it was a big event, let's say it was a loved one died or a divorce or something traumatic like that, at one time that was a big thing. And maybe now over time you kind of encode it differently, maybe your memory fades a little bit. So imagine being able to do the same thing on purpose. When an event happens, you can immediately change your submodalities and take control. How would that feel? It would feel really good. Or being able to walk into a business meeting at any time, be able to change your state. Okay, one of the things as we talk about, we went through internal representations and somewhat allies, we're going to talk about rapport. That's really the basis of how we do that. I mean, think about this. If I was to ask you, I want you to go outside and I want you to make friends with somebody, what would you do? Introduce yourself, right. What else?
Smile.
What else? Extend your hand, right. Start a conversation. Does that build trust? It can. Probably not, though. You're immediately not going to trust somebody. Some people just trusting, although it takes time. Usually it's given over a process. Well, here's what happens. In NLP, as I said before, there was a gentleman back in 1970, Dr. Ray Birdwhistle, and he found that our patterns of rapport or patterns of communication were consistent with our physiology and our tonality. That 55% of our communication is based on body language, how we move, how we choose to move, how we choose to behave. 38% is your tonality, how you say it, the words that you choose, the tone, the volume in itself. And only 7% the content, the words that we choose. So that means that 93% is nonverbal. 93% of our conversation, our communication is nonverbal. So I say, I love you. It's just the content. It's just content. So I add in the tonality. I love you. But if I throw in the physiology with it, I love you. It has a lot more meaning, doesn't it? The content's irrelevant because I can literally give the class from this position here. I can continue this over the next hour and a half. I don't know how engaged you would be, though, because as soon as I turn around, your brain just shuts off, doesn't it? You start thinking of other things. You disengage because this is what we're doing consistently is engaging others in our internal world. One of the presuppositions, you may have read this, Nick, in the book, one of the presuppositions, the first presupposition of NLP is respect the other person's model of their world. Does that make sense? I need to respect your world first before you respect mine. That's called reciprocity. Or then it's just me taking from you. And NLP is all about giving and being able to really understand what's going on in someone else's head. And for me to do that, I've got to step into your world first. If I'm trying to help you change, I've got to understand what you're doing first. It's all about creating rapport with the individual. And we spend about 3 days in learning specifically how to create rapport with clients or with people. And that's one of the major things I want you to get by the time you leave class. I want you to be able to walk up to anyone at any time and create instant rapport with them. Would that be effective for you? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you can get people to trust you, basically you can write your own ticket. Here's the thing, though. You're doing it every day. You're doing it every day. You just don't know you're doing it. Well, you do it with the people that you care about. You do it when you walk up to somebody that you have an instant connection with, yes? Have you ever walked into a room, and let's just say somebody walks in the room, and you get this feeling from them, right? And you just go, oh, wow. And they haven't even opened their mouth yet. It's just they walk in, and you get this energy, right? And there's other people that walk in the room, and you go, ew, you feel like you've just been slimed, right? They don't have to say anything. Because there's an energy transferred, and the energy is usually this. It's this 93%. And if you don't hear them, that's 55%. The body language is saying a lot. So what we do in rapport, when NLP says this, if I can learn to match this 93%, I can create rapport with you at any time. Because this is the majority of our communication. Does that make sense? It's not the words. It's not, I love you. That's meaningless. It's meaningless information. Walt?
What do you mean by match?
Match. I can match. I can match your physiology, your body language.
Mine?
Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
So we're going to learn to mirror and match, which is the process of NLP and creating rapport with another individual. Richard Bandler and John Grinder found that Virginia Satir, Fritz Perl, and Milton Erickson were doing this with their clients. That's how they were implementing change with people. Until I can create enough rapport and trust in our relationship, you're not going to open up, and I'm not going to really know what's inside. thus the presupposition of respect the other person's model of their world. Once I do that and I step into your world, I have a better understanding of how you do your processes of what you've done in the past. Does that make sense? Again, everything's a strategy, folks. Everything's a strategy. All I want to be able to do is break down that strategy and know how you do that, bad or good strategy. If it's a good strategy, we can enhance it. Maybe we can shorten the time that you do it and make it more fun for you to do. Or if it's a negative, limiting strategy, we can eliminate the emotion from it. Sometimes it may be an empowering negative strategy, something that you do. Like, sometimes fear is a good strategy, wouldn't you think? Everything I'm going to show you tonight is something you're already doing inside. You're already doing. Imagine this. You have a problem in life. And you walk over to the bookshelf, and you pick up Brian's owner's manual. And you flip back to the troubleshooting section in the back, and you go, oh, that's what I'm doing, and there's the solution. And you find the solution, you put the book back, and you implement that solution. And life just goes on again, and it's perfect. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, I like that. That's what NLP is. It's kind of like owner's manual, the brain. It's how you do what you do every day. That communication model is exactly what you're doing every moment of your life. An event comes in, you make internal representations of it, it changes your state and physiology, and it makes you act. It makes you behave. Now that behavior is either negative or positive. Either you like the results or you don't. It's like, oh, this is a class on software, really. The hardware's the same. Everybody's got the same hardware. We all have different programs that were downloaded. I mean, some of you want to be bold. Tell me some limiting beliefs that your parents told you. One of my others, we can't afford it. That was what my mom always used to say. Yeah, you can. All those shoes you bought. Right? We all have those. Anybody want to share one?
Yeah, my father used to tell me, boy, always stay in an office because you won't get a job within working from anybody anywhere else.
See, now that, I mean, whew, okay, that's way out there. And it probably worked for him. Still work for you?
Well, I found myself trying other endeavors, but eventually coming back into a safe office.
Exactly. Now, and he can't even get out of his own way. Literally, you can't even get out of your own way because that belief is inside of you, and when you step outside of that belief, it's uncomfortable. I kind of equate beliefs to this. It's like this room. Let's say this room was your belief about that. Being in an environment, being in an office is really safe. It's kind of like you're standing in the middle of this room, and this is your beliefs. Beliefs have walls. They're very structured. Just that when you're in the middle of it, it's real comfortable because you're okay. But as soon as you want to try something else or somebody suggests something and puts a little pressure on you, it pushes you up against the edge of your belief. And all of a sudden that belief becomes really real for you. What does the body do? How does the body respond? It goes, ooh, no. Back over here in the middle of the room. It's nice and safe over here. You just said it. Literally, you just said it. I tried something else, tried to experiment with it, and all of a sudden I always come back. Right there. Because that's what the body knows. The body's just trying to protect. The unconscious mind does one thing. It just protects the body. That's it. That's its design. It's protect the body all day long. So anything that feels bad or generates a feeling that's negative, the body reacts or responds. So all we do is we want to go in. Sometimes we don't even have to eliminate the experience. Well, what we do is eliminate the emotion from it. And that was one of the ways, too, is to change how you perceive it, your submodalities. And anchoring, that's another way to do it. Set a good resource anchor, what we call an NLP. Is imagine if I was to say to you, if you could have one emotion at the snap of your fingers at any time you wanted it, what would it be? Confidence. If you could have any emotion at any time at the snap of your fingers, what would you want? Happiness, confidence, ambition,
joy.
You can. That's the funny thing. You can. Because at any given moment, you already have it in you. Does that make sense? It's already in you to have that. You already know what it is. It's being able to tap into it. I did a workshop on how to master your mental game of golf. And it was a really simple class. All we did was set up great resource anchors. Because if you can hit a perfect ball, and everybody usually has if they're playing golf, all it is being able to tap into that perfect swing over and over again, right? Same thing with the feeling. If you can tap into that feeling more often at any time you want, how powerful would you be? unstoppable is the word. How much joy and happiness and confidence would you like in your life? That's up to you. It's already in there. All you need to do is how to get to it. It's the strategy of how you do that. And a lot of it is based upon your physiology, how you move. Again, depressed people don't walk around like this, right? And happy people don't walk around dragging their feet. So it's how you move. We'll talk about at the end of the class, state management. We'll go into a little bit of anchoring, but it's more of state management at that point. How you manage your states and emotion is really the effectiveness of how you are in your life. My theory is that's the most important things we should be teaching our kids. How to manage their emotions from moment to moment. That's true power. Because it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. Or better yet, how you respond appropriately. As Wayne Dyer says, we respond with ability, responsibility. That's empowerment, being able to respond appropriately to any event that comes in. Because the event coming in to your neurology is neutral. It's meaningless. It's meaningless until you place a meaning on it. Does that make sense? That's what Robert and I were talking about before. It's the meanings that we place upon things. That's how we become effective or disempowered. A new relationship comes into your life, you go back in the past, pull this stuff up, and look at this new relationship through your past. And this past, this negative strategy or disempowered strategy, limiting belief, whatever that is, changes your state, changes your emotions. And you react accordingly to this new event coming in. And it's really not a new event. It's an event you're just filtering through your past. Does that make sense? Again, you're doing this all day long. This is how you do your world. They say that we have 50,000 thoughts a day. 50,000 thoughts a day. 98% of them were the same as yesterday. 98% of them are the same as yesterday. So guess what you get more of today? Yesterday. And what about last week? The week before? And the decade before? Because we consistently run the same patterns over and over again. Because it's what's easiest for the neurology to do that. Have you ever seen a couple of neurons? You know what they look like? They run pathways. They communicate with each other through these neural networks. It's kind of like that field of poppies. It's brand new. And the first time you walk through it, right? You look back and maybe a poppy or two will spring back up. But eventually, I continue to walk through that same path over and over again. What do I create? A rut. And that's what sometimes the neurology does. The negative patterns, the negative strategies that we have become ruts. And it runs that same pattern over and over again, regardless of the result we want to produce. Because it's the easiest way to go. The brain's a simple computer. It's really easy. It just moves you in the direction of your dominant thoughts. That's all it is. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, you become what you think about all day long. And if you're thinking of that 98% the same as yesterday, then your life is no different than it was 10 years ago. And yet, what do? We point the finger. We point the, oh, it was my boss. Oh, it was my first wife. It was my third wife. It was my car. It was my, you know, when they say when you point one finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you.
Well, how does affirmations figure into this?
Affirmations are great. The unfortunate thing about affirmations is they're not really neurologically inside. It's just a very vague wish or vague intent. And we're going to go through that literally after we take a break here in a moment, because I'm going to teach you traditional goal setting versus goal setting with NLP. And how to get what you really want, because that's what you came here for, right? That's what I wanted you to know. She's like, yes. Imagine being able to use this machine consistently every day. You're empowered to get what you want. So every day you wake up, you say thank you, and move towards it. That's power. That's what you're designed to do. That's what your body and brain, your mind, are designed to do every day. Yet we limit ourselves from the past that we create. By listening to somebody's negative beliefs or responding to failure or whatever that is. One of the presuppositions of NLP, what changed my life, was there is no failure, it's only feedback. That was huge for me because I had to get it right the first time. You know, there's no failure in it.
Well, how did you get into all of this?
I sat right there in that chair just like you, took this class. But literally, I sat there just like that because I heard of NLP, just like you. Open up the learning, and I just went, oh, I've heard NLP. Tony Robbins today. I'm going to go learn that. And I sat there, and my instructor said, we're doing a certification class. I go, I got to do it. I got to learn the technology of how to take control of what I'm doing in my life so I can help other people. Now, then I didn't have the dream to go out and help other people, but then it was like, yeah, my God, if I can just help myself, it'd be great. You know? So literally, I mean, in fact, one of the other instructors I work with, I say the same thing. I said, I sat back of that certification class in that last row just going, okay, convince me. You know, convince me. And it did. Because it's all about taking control, folks, about taking control of your destiny, your future. Because if you're not, somebody else will do it. And the saying is, if you're not dreaming your dreams, somebody else is dreaming them for you. And I don't want to give up that to anyone else. It's hard enough for me to do it. All right, we're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into some of the rapport skills. Trust, the foundation of all relationships. We're going to get into some state management, which you'll be able to walk out of here and be able to eliminate some negative emotions. I'm going to show you a pattern. You can do that instantaneously and be able to empower yourself, okay? So go ahead, take a break, be back in 10, and we'll go from there. Okay, welcome back. So any questions while you were on break? Did anything come up?
The eight-day training.
The eight-day.
Does that involve hypnosis?
We teach basic hypnosis, yeah. It's real light information, so it's nothing that you're going to walk out and be able to hypnotize anyone that you choose to.
No, I was just wondering if that's part of the integrated program. Yeah. That's part of the process.
Yeah, NLP and hypnosis work hand in hand, very closely related, because Milton Erickson, he was one of the foremost hypnotherapists at the time, they studied him and learned how he distilled down information. Milton did it very vaguely. He would talk in very vague terms, where Virginia Satir would talk very specific. And so we use that when we're working with clients. So depending on what information you want to get from this, as Brian said, and Robert took this information, used it in a business format. A lot of people come to the certification class and say, you know, I just want to better myself. I want to build the power myself every day so I can make better decisions.
And then what's the other thing you come for?
A lot of people come and say, you know what, I want to be able to create a business around this. I want to become a life coach. Or in the last Learning Annex class, I had a therapist sitting here. And he had no clue about this stuff. A lot of them don't. They're not taught this. They're taught just basic MBA information about statistics. They're not taught about really how the brain operates and how to effectively help other people. I had one lady start an education program for kids. You know, some of the hypnosis stuff that we would teach taught a hypnobirthing class, where she anesthetized women from here to here and then go through the childbirth process feeling no pain. So there's a myriad of different things you can use it for. The processes that we teach in a certification class are basically how you do already what you're doing. It's just that you don't even know you're doing, and we enhance the process. We get rid of some of the garbage that you may have been holding on to, rid of some of the negative emotions and limiting decisions that you have. You're able to clear phobias in 15 minutes. When we first learned that in class, like, that's impossible. Some people go to therapists for 10, 20 years ridding the phobia, and we can do it in 20 minutes? Or an allergy process, we can eliminate allergies. How many of you have allergies? Anyone? Yeah, we have a process for that. And it works. Because it's here. It's not in the body. The body's responding to how we focus and what we pay attention to. The meaning that we place upon things. Cancer. I work with cancer patients. Help cancer patients work this. Because cancer is just an outburst of stress. That's all it is. The immune system is broken down, and the body's just been overrun by cancer cells, which they're already in our body anyway. Just the immune system is so powerful, it can deter anything. It's like the human force field. When we become weakened, we don't take care of ourselves, we don't eat right, too much stress, we listen to other people's garbage about who we are, rejection, fear, all that stuff breaks down our immune system. We're susceptible to even a cold will kill us. I work with nurses with this in the hospitals, same thing. Teaches people the empowering skills to take control of what they're doing every day. That's the gift, folks. That's the gift. That's why you're here. So we're going to teach you one simple technique about rapport. Again, rapport. 93% is nonverbal. So as soon as we can match that 93%, we start connecting with somebody else. Does that make sense? I can connect with somebody on a energetic level, on a feeling level, Now, when I connect with that feeling, then I make that connection logically, because there is no logic anyway. There's no logic. Again, it's all about our feelings. We generate decisions based upon how we feel. Anthony Robbins said this. I love this statement. He said, the quality of your life, you understand that sentence? The quality of your life is based upon the quality of decisions you make daily. And your decisions, again, are based upon your feelings. And if I feel a certain way when I'm with you, if it's good or bad, I'm making decisions based upon that. You ever been around somebody that's very disempowering, that's very negative to be around? Yeah. Yeah. We all have. Ever been around somebody that's just, the world lights up when they're around them? Don't you feel better about who you are? Absolutely. Because that energy is just transmuted back and forth. It's a flow. It's a connection. You know, one of the other presuppositions of NLP is the communication, our communication, is the response that I receive in return, not my intent given. It's never my intent. It's never what I mean to say. It's meaningless until I get it back from you. Does that make sense? You ever been in a relationship and you know that your partner says, that's not what you said, and you go, but that's what I meant. Right? Because it's meaningless. You might as well be talking to a wall. It's meaningless information until I get the response back. And that's what I'm paying attention to. That's rapport, is the response that I receive. Great story. I'm teaching at a chamber meeting, one of the companies in Woodland Hills, and the class is done. I spent an hour and a half teaching in this stuff, business communications. A lot of it is creating rapport with your environment, your salesperson, your customers, your employees. I'm talking to this woman up at the end of class, up near the podium. Her and I are left, and this one guy in the back. And he comes storming at me. And I can just see this determination on his face. She's like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to get from him, right? So we're talking, I'm just chatting. And he walks up to me and he says, let me tell you something. I would know if you were doing that to me. And I went, really? And I look at her and I wink my left eye and I just want watch this. I go, really? You would know if I was doing this to you? He goes, absolutely. I'm a little bit smarter than that. I can tell if that was happening with me. I said, really? You would know? If I was doing that to you, you would know. I was literally repeating the exact same thing he just gave me and doing the exact same thing. He did it 3 times. And he went, yeah. And he stormed off. And she went, oh, my God. She knew exactly what I was doing, and I was doing it on purpose, with volition, to prove a point. Because when you do it with conscious intent, and that means my intent is to make you feel good about being with me. My intent is to make you feel good and that I respond appropriately to your interaction. Remember, communication is a cyclical loop of energy. And so as I just repeat the information to you, back to you in a way that you comprehend it to your world, you feel good about it. And thus that transfers to me. You feel good about me.
And for me, it's happening unconsciously.
Look, you're doing it.
You can't not be you.
You cannot not be you. You have. Remember the question I asked in the beginning? How do you know to be you? Your memories. You're being you based upon who you think you are. And so all of this is unconscious. He's choosing it, but it's an unconscious level. Our unconscious mind runs 90% of who we are. So that unconscious mind is processing this stance, his patterns, his choice of language. And all I do is give it back to him. Yes, absolutely. Shannon.
Regarding the example that you just gave us, for example, if that were like a person, like a customer or a client that's upset, isn't that just going to escalate the situation if I'm loud as they are?
No, not at all. Great question. Here's what happened, Shannon. Remember, that person is in his own world. That guy came up to me with frustration and anger directed at me. Now, if I would have went, yeah, you may be right. You may notice that I was doing that. I'm not really sure. It depend upon the circumstance. He would have overpowered me right at that moment. But because I was on the same level as him, and I was being just like him, his unconscious mind can't see anything other than who he is. Respect the other person's model of the world, yes.
You can match the energy without matching the negativity.
Exactly. You match the energy level. See, I wasn't throwing negative words back out at him. He never threw anything negative at me. I was just throwing the energy back at him. Remember, everything, when we start to get into deeper levels of NLP, some of the master's program, which Robert was going to teach with me, we start to get matching energy levels, because that's everything we are on a quantum physics level. who we are, the basis of our systems, like the circulatory system, your respiratory system. We start breaking that down into molecules and atoms, and everything's energy. We're just a ball of light. We're a ball of energy. That's all we are. When we match that energy with somebody, that person, we literally sync up to that wavelength. We literally sync up to that wavelength. That's why when somebody walks in the room, you go, ugh. You're picking up that energy. Or when somebody walks in the room, you just go, oh, wow. It's energy that you're feeling. And they've done studies, they've done it across countries. That energy is felt. We start to get in telepathic, clairvoyant, and all that stuff because it's part of the same universe, that we're all part of the same system.
Well, he walked away, so you really didn't, in the end, establish rapport with him.
Oh, I established rapport that fast. Literally that fast. As soon as he walked up, I knew what he was going to do because I could see his body posture, first of all. And as soon as I start matching that 93%.
But he was done with you.
Yeah. I don't need to know if I generated a feeling that he liked me or not. I need to know that I generated a feeling of likeness or responsiveness, because that's really what it is. It's a feeling of responsiveness.
Well, you weren't looking to get anything from him.
No, exactly. My intent was not to have him be my best friend. My intent was to match that energy level. Here's the thing. If you've been around typical therapists before, therapists are programmed. They're taught in class to do what with a client? Listen and do what else? Ask questions and what else? Charge them a lot of money. Exactly. A lot of money. What was that, Brian? Empathetic, right? What was that? Put them at ease. Exactly. So the kind of questions a therapist say, interesting. Go ahead and tell me more. Well, if the client comes in, this is one of the distinctions of NLP. Bandler and Grinder said this. I'm not creating rapport with somebody if I'm not matching that energy level. So if I come in to a client's, if I'm the client and I come into a therapist's office and I say, God, I just had the worst day. I can't even tell you. So many things are going wrong. I just don't understand why. And the therapist is saying, tell me more. Guy's going, tell you more. I'll tell you plenty more. I mean, first of all, it was my wife today. She's just, I don't even want to get into that right now. But the dog, I'm going to kill that dog. Remember the dog I was telling you about? And my kids, I don't get it. Why don't my kids listen? And the therapist's saying, okay, I can see where you're at. Go on. Go on? I'll go on, all right. And now, at that moment, there's no connection because he's not feel like he's being what? Understood. He's not being understood. See, folks, my theory is this in life. We want two things. We want to be appreciated and recognized for who we are. And when you're able to do this with someone else, recognize and appreciate somebody by stepping into their model of their world, trust me, they'll follow you around like rats in a Pied Piper. They will, because they feel good being around you. And when you can generate that feeling in somebody else, when you can bring that out in somebody else, why wouldn't they? You just told me a second ago, oh yeah, I've been around a lot of depressed people. But what about the happy people in your life, the people that empower you? Wouldn't you like to be around those people every day? Would that lift your life up more and more often? Absolutely. Those are the people that you want to generate. But guess what? Until you can do that with other people, they're not going to want to be around you. Because like attracts like. That kind of energy attracts other kind of energy. So as a great therapist, as a therapist that learns some of the techniques, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pace with my client. And I go, yeah, I totally understand how you feel. I had a guy in here just an hour ago. He was even more irate than you. And he's going, yeah, I could, really? Yeah. Well, I'm going to pace with him. And then what we learn in NLP in the certification class is called pacing and leading. I'm going to rise up to his energy level and I'm going to start to come down slowly. And I start to come at this level here, and then I may start to walk a little bit slower and bring my tone and volume down. And because we're in sync, we're in rapport, and I know it, because there's a feeling generated, I know I'm in rapport with him, I can start bringing my tone, my gesturing, my breathing down to a more calm, focused, and relaxed level that I'd like to have him at. And 9 times out of 10, he'll come down also. That's the power of rapport. Okay, here's another one. Ladies, how many of you lived with another woman before? What happens when women live together?
We hate them.
We hate them.
Some of them.
Some of them I hate. No, we got to cut that part out. You cycle.
I thought of both of those. I didn't know which one you were about.
Your cycles. So, okay, for men that don't understand that, your menstrual cycles sync up. Okay, guys, that freaked me out the first time I learned that. Because it's like, I didn't know that. That's the power of rapport. When you're in like energy with someone else, think about this. When two women are in like energy, the biochemistry in their body changes. The biochemistry in their body changes. That was astounding to me. Like, how could that happen? That's the power of rapport. And when you get it at a deep level, an unconscious level, that when you're creating rapport with somebody on purpose, with volition, how much power you have, not just over yourself, but other people. There's also covert language. There's covert body language. They're just tools, folks. A hammer can be used to build or to kill. That's all they are. They're just tools. How you use them is up to you. Right before 9/11, in June, we were commissioned to go back east to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to work with the U.S. Army counterintelligence team. And then September rolled around, and this whole scenario started, and we were called in December, a couple months later, and everything was on high alert. I mean, just getting to the base, it was like three checkpoints and Humvees with machine guns, and we had security clearance. And we spent 5 days with these 40 men that thought they knew what they were doing. We walk into class, these four guys, and they're all like this. Okay, show us what you know. And by the end of that fifth day, they were like, this is incredible stuff. In fact, the chief said, we haven't had a training like this in 40 years that have been this deep. We got these guys so good at the point of being able to tell if somebody's lying. We had them practice. They had, let's say, a mock terrorist sitting here, and the interrogator was asking them questions. They could tell they were lying by the hairs standing up in the back of their neck. That's how good they got at the end of 5 days. Because again, this is something you're already doing inside. We just brought it out in them so they could do it now on purpose and more often. It's the same thing. It's no different than changing your states. Here's the funny thing. I want you to try an experiment. Next time you're with somebody that you really like, that you're really in rapport with, notice your body language. I guarantee you, 90% of it will be similar. Now, in the handouts I gave you, I listed a couple of different things. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to go out in the beginning and get real good at it because your brain can only handle so much. So here's one of the things I want you to start paying attention to. When you leave this door tonight, when you leave this place, when you get home tonight, I want your brain to be thinking of this. I want you to be focusing on only two things, head tilt and volume. Head tilt and volume. Whenever you walk up to somebody, I practice with the bank teller and the grocery store clerk and the post office, wherever. Anyone over the phone, you can start paying attention to the volume and the tone, the pitch that they use. Start creating rapport with people over the phone. That's how powerful this is with your employees. Because once you have rapport and knowing where to go from there, what's your intent, we can lead them around to see both perspectives, not just theirs, not just mine, but ours. It's got to be a win-win for everyone. Does that make sense? So head tilt and volume. With every interaction that you have with somebody, you have an intent. Even if it's just, hey, you know what? It's just I want to call you up and say hello, how you doing, just check in on you. Your intent is to check up on them, generate feeling, friendship, deepen the relationship. That's your intent. Sometimes just to go up to, you're curious what's going on. If it's somebody up on the street, that's your intent. Oh, what's going on?
You can do the standing up too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No different. Because the posture is exactly the same.
And what if it's just eye movements?
Absolutely. There's so much going on, and we can even get way deeper into this stuff. Remember, there's 2 million bits of information coming in. So much of it we overlook. But when you start to get good, you start to pile on more and more information. You start to use literally the language patterns that they use. I mean, even their thought processes, how they start linking thoughts from one to the next. The predicates, the keywords that they use, it becomes really powerful. Literally, you can step into their whole world. You can almost become them. I've seen people do it. It's unbelievable. And a lot of people are great at just matching people. It's just boom, they go up and they step into their model of their world. You want to get real good at this? Start at being extreme. When you walk up to somebody, be exactly like them. Get to the point where you're literally a mirror in their eyes. When they go to do this, go and do this. Do the exact same movement. They won't know, I promise. I want to go over this goal setting thing. This is really important for you guys. Traditionally, if you've attended any workshops in the past, anyone on goal setting? A couple. Read any goal setting books? Most of the goal setting programs are based on what? Setting a goal out in the future. Right? Here's the challenge with that. The unconscious mind only recognizes one thing, the moment. It only recognizes the now. There is no past, there is no future, it's only the present. So when you put a goal out in the future, as the unconscious mind moves forward, so does the goal. Someday's out here. Until you internalize it, until you internalize that future date into the present, that's when the unconscious mind makes it real. And the way to make that real is through feelings. There's a great book called Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. You ever read that? Great book on setting goals and visualizing. Because until it's real for your neurology, until it's real, that you get it deep down inside, it's just wishful thinking out here in the future. So people go, oh yeah, someday I'd like to have another car. Someday I'd like to have a better relationship. Someday I'd like to make more money. That someday, the unconscious mind says, yes, someday. That's right, someday you will. And it's always out there, just beyond your grasp. One, get real clear about what you want. How many homes do you want to sell a year? How much money do you want to make? How much commissions per year do you want to sell? What area do you want to farm? What price range are you going to be selling from? Who's going to be your client? Corporations? Going to be the individual resident? You got to get real specific about what that is. So when you set goals, you've got to get real clear about what it is in all three of those representational systems, especially kinesthetically. A feeling-based emotion about having it already. The challenge with most people is when they set goals, they say someday in the future. Then, here's the distinction and the difference in making a powerful goal is that you state it in the three P's, positive, present tense, and personal. And present tense means I already own it. I already have that BMW. It's black. It's got chrome rims. It's got gray leather interior. It smells like a new car smell. And when I get inside, I generate this feeling. You act and behave as if it's already there. That's the difference. Is when you act as if you already have it, the unconscious mind starts looking for all the opportunities that are creating that. You ever driven a car, a new car, maybe it's a brand new car, one that you've just bought, a used car, and you're out there driving along and all of a sudden, oh, there goes one. Oh, there goes one. There's another one, right? And you wonder, whoa, this is weird. They're all showing up on the same day. Were they there before? Absolutely. Why'd they show up on that day? You became consciously aware of that opportunity. And it's the same thing with a goal. Once you make that goal real for your subconscious mind, it starts looking for all the opportunities, all those little puzzle pieces that are out there already. So when you set the date, let's say, February 8th, 2007, it's today, February 7th, 2007. I now own a black BMW. I now own me a black BMW. Beige leather interior, sunroof, chrome rims. Get that smell. You get even the taste. You salivate when you sit in that car. Use all your modalities. It starts making it real for your body and your unconscious mind. Start looking for opportunities to produce that. Does that make sense? That's the biggest distinction that NLP gives you. Start playing with the submodalities to achieve the things that you want immediately. Start shifting those states. It's amazing how the mind works and just being able to tweak certain submodalities or changing beliefs or, you know, working, eliminating something and reinstalling something else. Neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro meaning the mind-body. Linguistic, the language that we use to communicate with ourselves and others and the programs that we run to produce those specific results. Does that make sense? One of the things I want to show you before you go is state management, because again, as I said in the beginning, I think this is probably the most important things that NLP has brought to the table. It's being able to produce the kind of emotions or the kind of states at will. Because if the state is inside you, it's accessible. It's accessible. You're able to access that state. You just don't know how. You do it all the time. You just don't know how to do it on purpose. And one of the two ways to do it is with your internal representations, what you focus on, and how you use your body. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to get real clear about one state of mind that you'd like to have at any given moment. As you said before, maybe of the one you said before. I don't know what that is for you. It may have changed or may have not. So get real clear about what state of mind you'd like to have at any given moment. And if you write it down, it becomes even more powerful. Because now it's just not a vague dream. It becomes real in your unconscious mind as you write it. Just write that one word or just a brief sentence, whatever that is. Now, here's the key to this. The secret is to go back into the past if you've had that experience before. You want to go back into the past and be able to relive that experience. Okay? And be able to relive that experience. You want to be able to bring up the submodalities of how you do that. What are you using? What are you seeing? As I said before, remember the visual? What are the pictures that you're using in your mind's eye? What are you focusing on? So if it is a state of confidence, go back at a time, Brian, when you felt really confident. What were you seeing in your mind's eye? Look, his breathing just changed as I said that. See, his shift already happened, and we just brought in the visual. I know, it's amazing how it works. As soon as you bring up that visual picture, your brain goes, ah, that's confidence, and your body responds. So you bring up the picture of what you were thinking then. Now, again, we can tweak the submodalities, so we can brighten the picture up even more. We can make the picture really big and bring it in closer to make it even more energetic. What were you saying to yourself then, Brian? When you bring up that picture and you see yourself back in that moment, what were you saying to yourself? Or was somebody saying something to you that gave you also that feeling of confidence?
I was hearing the applause.
Right. Good. From where? From out in front of you? Out in front of you to a group of people? Okay, great. Was there anything being said specifically from that group?
They were saying things like, great job. Exciting show.
Right. Now, is that what was being said? We don't know, but that's what he remembers. So what were you saying to yourself when that was happening?
God, this is incredible.
God, this is incredible. Okay, so write that down. God, this is incredible. That just came out. That's an unconscious process. God, this is incredible. Okay, so stand up. This is part of the process. Because the feeling is going to come from your body, how you use your body. So what he's focusing on is that event, right? That event. Let's come up here. So I want you to go back in the past and just think about that event. Just bring it up in your mind's eye in all the clarity that you can. Do that now.
All right?
All right? And just notice the sounds associated with that picture.
Yeah.
Right, right. And say that to yourself again.
God, this is great.
Okay, now, I want you to move as if you were moving. It was happening right now. So where would your shoulders be? Back, forward? Where would your head be? How would your breathing be? Would you be moving around the room? Would your stance be? You see this? This is confidence for him. This is how he does confidence. Right?
I'm there.
Exactly. Now, what we want to do is what we teach you in class is how to use an anchor to bring it back, or that trigger. Okay, mine, I have a simple one, is I just take my thumb, I put my thumb underneath my chin. Every time when I'm in a really good state of mind and I'm really powerful, I just go ahead and I just anchor it in. And so when I'm feeling really good, I just go ahead and anchor it in. When I'm feeling really good, I just go ahead and anchor it in. So when I'm feeling kind of blah, I just go ahead and fire off that anchor and it just immediately brings me back into that moment. It's like Pavlov ringing that bell. It's like you can see, look at him. He's just like, he's ready to go. He's in that state right now. That's confidence for you, Brian. That's your confidence. That's your state. That's your state of confidence. So whenever you need it, bring up those pictures, listen to the audience, say what you're saying in your head, use your physiology and just, that's right. And say that basically is an affirmation for you. God, this is incredible. And just say it to yourself over and again and generate those feelings. Now, here's the secret. We can jack up the feelings. So go ahead and step back into that confidence. Think about that picture, right? Mm-hmm. Hear the audience. Say what you're saying to yourself. Use your body. Get into that posture. Throw your shoulders out. Bring some oxygen. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to feel that feeling in your body, Brian. Go ahead and feel it. Now, I want you to just bring it out the top of your head, that feeling. Bring it back in through your feet and jack the feeling up. That's how I can bring it back outside again. And every time it rolls in, it brings the feeling more intense. That's right. Just go ahead and just circulate it through your body, outside and then in. That's right. One more time and jack it up even more. 10 times stronger. One more time. One more time. Bring it up. That's right. Say it to yourself. That's right. Good. Good. That's right. All right. All right. Now, it seems people go, God just seems so ridiculous. That just seems so airy-fairy. But that's what his body does to recognize confidence for him. That's how he does confidence for that moment. Now, we can pick another moment. It may be even more powerful for him. He's been able to step into that. What you focus on and how you use your body. That's how to change your state. Whenever you're in a negative state, this is the key, folks, whenever you're in a negative, disempowering state, what are you focusing on? And how are you using your body? Guaranteed, it's a negative thought, it's a limiting belief, and your body's just, you're disempowered. Your body's disempowered. Remember that communication model? How you use your state and physiology makes you behave. That's powerful stuff. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and practice that. Yes, absolutely. Here's even better. I want you to pick 3 states that you'd like to have at any given moment and practice each one. Well, if one was just happiness, what is happiness for you? How do you do happiness? What are you thinking about when you're happy? What are you saying to yourself? Are there other people in the room? Is there music going on? How does that work for you? How is your body? I mean, are you light in your feet? Are you breathing really light? What is that? Being able to step into that moment. If you can create 3 good states, confident states, validated states for you, I'm worth something. These are my self-worth states. Find out how you do that. Remember, it's all a process. It's all a strategy that you're already doing. You just don't know how to call it up whenever you want it. So at any time you're going to make a sale and you need to step into that confidence level, bam, it's right there. I mean, literally, he could have sold you anything at that moment. There's no rejection in that whatsoever. He would have said, you know what? I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. How can I do this? How can you help me get what you want? Not going, God, I know you've been approached probably a lot of people today, and you know, I have a great product. I think maybe it might be able to help you. And you're going, yeah, maybe help me go to sleep. But when you're in a confident state, it's contagious. An empowered state, using your body for your best needs and results that you want to produce on a daily basis. That's how you do that. You do it every day. You're just not choosing the right states. They're disempowered states. Does that make sense? I want to end with this joke. There's these 2 good old boys, and they're hunting in the backwoods of Oklahoma, Jethro and Bob. When suddenly Jethro hits the ground unconscious and not breathing. And Bob gets on his cell phone. He says, operator, he says, my buddy Jethro, I think he's dead. And the operator says, sir, just calm down. First, let's make sure he's dead. There's a long pause at the other end of the phone, and bang! And he gets back to the phone. He's okay, now what? Communication. It's not everything. It's the only.
Thanks for listening. If you would like more information about our products, speeches, or NLP workshops, or if you've ever been curious about neuro-linguistic programming and would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.lanlp.com or give us a call at 888-NLP-COACH. And remember, you become what you think about all day long.